Hello, my name is Rick Keysweater, and welcome to Prototype Diaries, the podcast where guests are invited to choose and read extracts from 20 years of my diaries to kick off the conversation. I've also asked my guest to start writing a diary a few weeks before the show so that I can read their diary. My guest today started stand-up in NYC and works regularly at top clubs around London. She is taking her show Married at First Fight later this year to the Adelaide Comedy Festival. Welcome, Catherine Henson.
Hi, Rick.
Hi, how's it going? Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Catherine, as you can see here, there is a suitcase full of my diaries. Let's just get started. Please choose one.
I'm shocked to see this. You know, I take hoarding to some level that is not this, though. Do you know what I mean?
Really?
I'm not calling you a hoarder. I'm just saying I'm amazed.
Okay.
So I can just pick any.
You could pick any and then just choose an excerpt and start reading it.
They look so cryptic, too, on the front. Like you've written... You know, your manifesto on the front. No, it's like this one's a Judy Garland quote. This is 0102.
Yeah.
What's your oldest one?
I don't know. I mean,
this one feels this pretty
one,
old.
This one's very old. And the Judy Garland one in the quote is, "If I'm such a legend, why am I so lonely?" So that's a good start to the show.
That actually resonates deep in my core. I picked this one.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes the first one is the best choice.
Okay.
And now, okay, well, I've opened this up.
Yeah.
And because you seem to have a bookmark of some sort in here.
Okay.
STD Super Saver?
That's not sexually transmitted disease.
It's
actually a train ticket. I don't know what that is for, but it's stapled onto something else.
Yeah,
I don't know. Would you like to just read something from?
You went to Manchester to pick up chlamydia, it
probably,
seems.
Probably.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe not that one.
Wow. No. This is crazy. So where that was, I mean,
okay,
it's pretty close to the season we're in
right
now. This is from December 22nd, 2001.
What?
Yeah.
So this is, okay. So what is it?
Okay.
Can you read it?
We're going to try.
Okay.
I'm reading Ayn Rand, Second Business. Is that the book?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I've enjoyed this book. I'm also on the way to Manchester. Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Your handwriting leaves something to
be
desired.
Right.
So I'm not illiterate. I think it's you.
Okay. So it was when I was going to Manchester, and at the time I had a day job in advertising. So, I mean, when was the last time you actually had a day job besides stand-up comedy? Is it?
It was just at the end of 2019.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's quite recent, really.
It was, yeah.
And what did you do?
I was managing a BDSM dungeon.
Right, okay, so something quite conventional.
Yeah, exactly.
How did it go, anyway?
Which part? How did I get it, or just the...
Well, I mean,
was there during the day.
Right.
It was
during the day?
Yeah, I know. I was shocked, too, because I was looking for something where I could do stand-up at night, and I worked, you know, 9 to 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
I take it you didn't write into a journal back then, because that would have been interesting.
I there's a lot of things that I've done in my life that I probably should have been journaling for. And
really?
Yeah. And that is certainly one of them.
Oh, do you think that so there might have been some cancellation sort of statements in there?
No. Well, no? I mean, it's a I don't think so. But I mean, then again, you know, I worked there. So my mind is wide open.
So that was your last 9 to 5 job.
Yeah.
BDSM
dungeon. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a BDSM, because it sounds like a driving school kind of thing.
Yeah, but I was the manager, just to be clear. Like, I went to work in regular clothes. I ran the facility. I was the liaison between clients and coworkers.
Wow, sounds like you worked for the diplomatic corps or something like that.
Yeah, I think we saw at least one diplomat there.
Interesting. All right, okay. Well, would you like to choose something else? I'm going to stick this back in there.
Okay. So that was Rick 20 years ago.
That was me 20 years ago, and
you
could probably tell both my writing and my thoughts were probably a little bit more immature
right,
back
right.
then.
Okay.
And
so I'll try to. Well, why don't we speed up to 10 years after that in 2011?
Okay.
What do we think of that? Okay. All right. Can I? What's on the front? I don't know.
Yes. Read what's on the front.
Creativity is an expression of self, and if your self isn't very interesting, your creativity won't be either.
Ooh, who wrote
that? Wow, Jay Hegarty.
Oh right. Okay. Yeah. Right. That's an advertising dude. I don't know how. I assume that. John Hegarty would love that being quoted, but there you are. Yeah.
Yeah, you really
he did Levi's campaigns and things like that. So
these are really ominous that what you put on the front. Loneliness.
They're not all like that. They're sort of like they are little anecdotes that remind me of usually they would reflect what's in the actual journal itself of that particular time in my life. So in that time I was very focused on writing and career and all this kind of stuff, whereas now I'm not.
You know, it's funny just because, you know, this is making me realize how I kind of you had journals, which is I think what people do. I made mixtapes,
right? Okay.
I made a mixtape every month,
right?
So when I put that on, I'm reminded of a time in my life.
Oh
yeah, it's interesting. Like I can hear a song and you sort of like feel it. But as for journals, I have a lot of ones that there's about 5 pages written and then the rest is empty. I always
really?
Seem to abandon journals quickly.
Oh, I see. No, I essentially it started when with writing. I was a copywriter for many years in advertising. And then I started going into comedy, dabbling with comedy. And then what happened was I used to keep a separate book. That was a journal, a separate book for like character references, for writing, for screenplays, ideas, and a joke book. Then over time, I realized it was all one book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's when I started doing this sort of thing.
Can I ask, though? Here's my question.
Uh-huh.
Because as somebody who, you know, I started this journal, right, for this. Like, I was like, I'm going to commit to this.
Yeah.
What do you get out of putting it down? You know, when you're like, I know this isn't meant to be read. I might never read this again. Like, what can I just add? Because I'm curious.
Yeah.
I think that's why I always abandoned. I was like, this is useless. All it is like getting me deeper into the part of me I don't want to like experience or something.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
It's something that it's one of those things you can write it out and there is no, but when you have no intention, no editor, what happens is you're able to really explore that subconscious a little bit.
But I feel like I think what I'd rather do is just consistently torture myself with that person every single day by not letting it out or something. Because, I know people who have journaled like you have and they're really dedicated to it. And for whatever reason, myself, like I find I look at this. There's so many things I could commit to.
Yeah.
A journal is not one of them.
Right. Well, this is not something I said. I'm going to fill this thing with journals, okay? This suitcase.
this suitcase,
it wasn't. It wasn't anything like that. It's something that sort of just transpired. Over a course of a lifetime, what happens is that each thing is a different aspect of life, which I had not sort of expected. And it's one of those things. That's why it's called Prototype Diaries, because I in a sense think that we are all prototypes and that we're all working on ourselves and we don't necessarily understand how we got to the place that we got to all the time. And that's what the purpose of this was. And here in my hand, I've got here, Noel told me to be conversational with a small audience. I don't know if this sort of, he liked it enough to ask me back for another 10-minute slot. The opening I'd never seen before, the opener, he had jokes and went to Oxford.
Oh, wow. Sounds like you're in England.
His name is David something. and something's actually written in here, so I can't really tell you who it was. He didn't seem that funny to me.
Good. I'm glad we're slagging off other comedians.
It's not necessarily other comedians. I think what it was is that I had been here. This is from
2011.
And for me to get to grips with the class system and how things were working, I don't know. How did you encounter the class system? Have you made sense of it?
I have not adapted.
You have not adapted? And
no,
how is
no.
that?
It's one of those things that like you don't realize until you're here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're kind of like, oh, England and America, both, you know, predominantly English-speaking countries. I'll just adapt. Yeah, it's easy. And I've just sort of found it's a different language completely. And it's almost more confusing than being somewhere where you don't speak the language at all.
That is my sort of conclusion as well. I mean, it's almost better to be like Germany.
Yeah,
it's like a different sort of language, so you don't go on these red herrings, because it's taken me so long to wrestle with the class system here. And because initially I was working, I mean, I didn't work at the BDSM place, but,
yeah.
But and I'm sure you've met all classes there. But I believe that when I was in my working life, my 9-to-5 life, everything was Oxbridge, Cambridge,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the world of business, entertainment, and some of it is not. I just think that great education works. I think that's kind of it.
I was surprised to see how much it seeps into the comedy world as well, because yeah. You know, stand up, you're just like, oh, this is an art form. You know, all you got to do is be funny, and it's like, oh no, that's not even half of it. It's half of it if you're lucky.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think this exists to some degree in America, but in a different way.
Yeah.
And I think when you grow up with something, you get used to it.
Yeah.
So it's just a different language that, like, I think if I was born and raised here, it's whatever. But when you're trying to enter it.
Do you think that that means that you have to be like 3 times as good? I mean,
you know, with the age of the way the internet is and every, mm-hmm. I don't even know if you have to be good anymore. You know, I think there's certain things that just fall into place.
Right.
I think people get lucky. I mean, if you have to be a million times as good and have a million people think so.
Okay,
you know?
So not just twice, a million times.
I mean, I think it's just a really interesting, because I wouldn't call it like good, but the way it's all sort of moved, it's kind of fascinating. Like it's
fewer gatekeepers.
It's just less about, I think you can carve your own path.
Yeah.
And you can do so online. That's not something that at this moment in my life is speaking to me. So
sure.
It's kind of hard to wrestle with, because you're like, oh, I like dedicated so much time to like a live situation.
Right.
And now it's more about this. And I could have potentially a fantastic career if I, you know, moved more focus to like creating online content.
Sure. That's strategy, though. So I don't know if it's... Strategy is that, I mean, I believe that it's an art, what we do. And that is something different than pure strategy.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, there's art, there's fame. I'm sure in my journal we'll find something about all this in there.
Enough about you. Here we go.
More so
choose another journal, please.
Okay. Well, I'm staring at one since we were already.
Okay.
That says Comedy 2007.
Oh, my gosh. All right. We'll go.
I hadn't even started stand-up at this point.
Yeah.
I think I was a fetus in the comedy world.
What is the cover say on
the
that
cover
one?
Says 80% of success is showing up. And shockingly, that was said by Woody Allen.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah, well, you know, that's another tough one, because I don't know, can you separate the man from their deeds? I mean,
I can't.
Can you? You can.
I mean, look, I love Annie Hall. Like, I can't. I'm never gonna pretend like I don't love that movie.
I know that's really hard. I mean, I think because obviously over time, some of these quotes are from people who I respected, and now it's like, oh my gosh, it's like I still find it very difficult to. Watch a Will Smith movie now, you know, because he's... Because
he got slapped?
No, because he slapped.
Oh, no, yeah, he did. Oh, sorry,
he lost control.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, I thought, well, you know, in that situation, you know what your responsibility is. You know, and I find that... I don't know what the threshold is, where you separate, whether it's Louis C.K., whether it's Bill Cosby, whether it's somebody like Woody Allen, although I don't know. I mean, Michael Jackson, it's... Russell Brand, any of these people, I don't know, how do you separate the work from the person? It's like, so...
I've had to work on for myself, like a lot of, you know, working on forgiveness.
Yeah.
So I can like sort of see forgiveness for almost everyone.
Yeah.
And you know, it gets harder the closer they are to me, you know?
Yeah.
But like, it's not easy. And I probably... I'm the hardest on myself. Like,
sure.
That's where I'm at right now. Like, I can almost extend forgiveness for bad behavior for others more than I even can for myself. Because I think we all have thoughts. Some people act on their thoughts, you know, but it all comes from someplace, you know, that's either very wounded or hurt. You know, that doesn't mean it's inexcusable or that they shouldn't be called out. But it's like, you know, I can find it. I don't know. Like, I've had enough dark thoughts myself where I'm kind of like, you know, I can maybe forgive it, you know, but that doesn't mean you condone it.
Right.
If that makes sense. If
there's a certain level of understanding.
Yeah. So just to be clear, I'm not being like, yeah, that's fine. That behavior's fine. But, you know, and there's plenty of people who have thoughts that don't act on them, you know. But it's the interesting thing about, you know, being human and maybe why we reach the point where some people act on things, some people don't, you know.
Well, look, I mean, obviously that's just, you didn't even need to read inside that particular joke. Do you want to pick another?
Are you scared for me to open your joke book?
I don't know. Yeah, if I was, I wouldn't be here.
I know. Okay. Well, I mean, okay, yeah.
What you want. It's almost like a box of chocolates, isn't it, really?
I kind of want to find, I want to find a good one. Wait, this is when, this was like the turn of the millennium, right?
Some of these are written in stone, ladies and gentlemen. Some of these are papyrus, some hand-beaten on the Nile, some of the papers, but.
I like the quote on this one.
What is it?
In the front, one cannot both feast and become rich.
Oh, who did that one?
Ashanti proverb? What is that?
I don't know. It's so old. I've forgotten. let me read that one. That means some deep shit happened in this one.
I want to fuck with this book. Here we go.
Oh, my God. Wait, I don't know what...
I saw you just open it. But, hold on. Okay, I want to see where my spidey senses tell me to
You're
stop.
You're flipping through it. Okay.
I'm flipping through it, but I got my eyes
closed.
I don't
know if you know this, but every time somebody flips through these, I do clench. I honestly, I never know what it's going to be, and it's very frightening for me.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay, here we go.
All right.
Okay, I can...
I'm hoping my writing is really terrible there now.
Okay, wait. This is what I see.
Right.
And you might have to take it away after, but the first sentence is, but at least I have found an NHS dentist. Real real deep. I'm glad.
I don't know. So far, I've had two treatments which aren't NHS-able. Oh, well, I was really beginning to think my teeth are completely worthless and quite frail. I had, during this time, was it 2001, a lot of dental work done. I had
riveting.
My teeth falling. Well, I know. I'm gonna, no, this is the kind of stuff we cover, right? You know, some of these diaries, there's cancer, divorce, everything. Some of them is just about teeth.
It's funny because the quote on the front, one cannot both feast and become rich.
Yeah,
not,
I'm
not when your teeth are fucked up.
About my teeth. No, but the thing is, since, you know, I think teeth are so important. I don't know.
You probably
don't think about your flipping teeth.
I do.
Tell me what you think about your
teeth. Well, oh, God. Okay, now I feel. Okay,
What happened to your teeth?
No. Well, when I was a little kid, I used to eat toothpaste, which disgusts me now because now I can't even pick up like one of those like really you know, the one with the crest.
Yeah.
It makes me like gag to even smell it or look at it. I have no idea.
Were you not fed properly?
I have no idea. No, I used to eat toothpaste and I used to dabble with dog food, and that's not even a joke. I did that. But now I have to use like some natural toothpaste. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think about my teeth in that way because I know they're never going to be bright. I do like oil pulling now.
What's oil pulling?
Like,
it sounds like something to do with whales.
Whales, like the place,
yeah,
the people, no, or no, the animal?
Thing. Yeah, animal. Yeah.
No, like sesame oil. You put a little bit in.
Right.
And look, this is all like anecdotal evidence, but like you swish it around for like 15, 20 minutes first thing in the morning, or I sometimes do it late at night, and it's supposed to allegedly, like all the bacteria in your mouth is supposed to cling to it, and then you spit it out like in the toilet so it doesn't clog your sink.
Wow.
Yeah, so
I never heard of that. Look, some of this stuff is really practical shit.
If we're not laughing, we're learning. But yeah, I just so yeah, I
that's
I
how you take care of your teeth, because your teeth look great.
They are. Thank you. I accept the compliment.
Yeah, everybody out there is listening. You can't see Catherine's teeth, but they are.
They're not glistening white.
No, it doesn't. White isn't naturally healthy.
Yeah, they look, they're natural.
They
white.
Look. They look lethal. That's what I'm saying. They look. They look like they could really bite. And
they're
that's,
good. Yeah.
That's what they need to be, right?
Yeah, and but here's the other
am
way.
Am I speaking more American to you now, or is it?
Well, I don't know. See, I started thinking, am I getting more British talking to Rick? Because your accent's crazy, you know. Like,
yeah,
so and then I was pronouncing things in ways. I was like, this is coming out of my body in
teeth.
A way. Yeah,
look at my teeth.
But I've had like some crazy, like reoccurring dreams about my teeth, where all my teeth, like, are falling out or like breaking into bits in my mouth, and it happens every now and then that I have this like crazy dream, and I'm kind of getting into like Carl Jung and like,
wow,
and I really want to start writing down my dreams. That's something I didn't do in this. I
might
have did
read
one.
Them out, that's why.
I might have written one, I think, but like,
do you think your teeth represent your goals?
I don't, you know, my dreams are not these days. They're like scared. They're hyper real, but and like kind of scary.
Wow.
I started having very vivid dreams. But so you say I don't think about my teeth. I'm dreaming about my teeth. Okay.
So should we pick another one?
Pick another one. All right. Okay. You got so many. This is kind of recent.
Yeah, it is. Hopefully it's not too.
This was just last year at
okay,
this time.
Okay, let's try it. Okay, let's try that one.
2022. Oh,
this is scary.
And the cover says, what's next for you? The generic question.
Question, because I'm not a conversationalist.
Yeah? And this appeared.
And the thing is, I learned that, I think, from the BBC, like on news and stuff, when you have a journalist. And they said, you know, what's next for you? So, Catherine, what is next for you?
Oh, no. Are you really asking me?
No. I want
okay,
you to go
yeah,
in. I know what's next for you. You're supposed to look in there.
You've written this in a...
Sanskrit?
Well, you see this. This wasn't really meant to be like a proper journal.
We'll try. We'll read what's in there.
But you have these tabs that says service, reception, flowers and other, going away and
honeymoon. No. That's because that's a marriage book.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But that's this. It was because it was a spare notebook.
I know.
That's,
but I, you know, repurposing.
Yeah. I recycle.
Okay. So I've now opened this to what appears to be boxes of unchecked
boxes.
The first, your handwriting, great in this one, by the
way.
Thank
you very much.
Just might as well. So it says, I keep healthy by fasting every 2 hours. I just want you to know there's a line through that.
Oh, right. That's a joke that was trying to be a, some of this is like jokes that I've written. Tell me, actually, what's the other one? Any of these still in my set?
Okay. It's an 8-minute walk from my nearest tube station to my flat. But if anyone sees me, I say 15 minutes. Or asks me.
Yeah.
I say 15 minutes. Then you have cost of living crisis.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Let's
no, the 15 minutes thing is because then when they arrive at my door and they'll say, oh, Rick, it only took me 8 minutes to get here. And they're just like really happy.
Oh, right. Oh, that's a great move because you set the expectation.
But it's, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
So you lower the expectation. So when they actually arrive, they're really happy. But it does involve a lie, Catherine. I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's a nice, it's a service, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm a good liar.
Yeah. For good.
Lying for good. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I like this one. It says, you don't know what's happening, do you? You know more than I do. That's another good lie.
That's not even a joke. That's just me generally.
Yeah.
That's just me generally.
Another way that you're lying to people for good.
I don't know. It's last year, right? It's only last year. I've repotted the ivy and placed it outside the coping in a plastic pot so its invasive roots will be easily repotted. The thing is, this last year, it's not because of COVID or anything like that the year before. It's because... I started dating, and when I started dating again, I started really getting into plants.
I love plants. Get serious? I got real serious.
I mean, but this is something new to me. I don't know. This was something that happened when I started dating. I started getting into plants. I mean, did you always like plants?
Yeah.
You always did?
Yeah.
Did you do anything sort of, has any other activity like dating or being in love or something like started a different kind of activity that you didn't expect? not that activity.
It had nothing to do with plants. God. Well, you know, historically in my life, the activity that dating triggered in me was just having a general lack of self-respect for myself.
Right. Okay. You actually talk about this on stage a little bit, don't you?
Have I? Maybe. Possibly. Yeah, I... But the person I married, that's a very different thing because it's kind of the opposite of what I just said.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. And I've married somebody that's, you know, I don't know, really showing me that love can exist and right. You know? And
Although that's the title of your show that you're taking to Adelaide was Married at First Fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be interesting. Okay. All right. So shall we look at another diary? Let's go for it.
Okay. All right. That says advertising. I don't know. I suddenly recoiled. These ones are small.
Yeah, I think those are. It's
more back. We're back in the year 2000.
All right.
Can I just point out, like, and you know, if it's okay for me to say, when you gave me my notebook,
yeah,
what I would have thought was the front and then the right way,
yeah.
You gave me. You wrote a lovely little note but it was like the back page,
yeah,
upside down. Yeah. And as I hold this notebook of yours, there's very clearly a sticker on the back that's upside down that indicates this is the back of the notebook. But you're like, this is the front of my notebook.
Well, because I don't like to be told.
Okay, cool. No, I like that. I found that interesting.
I don't know what it is, but I think I do this the same with, like, if I get a bag of crisps, it's always I open up the bottom because I just think the crisps on the bottom never get a, you know, look around. And it's like, hey, we're at the top now.
I think this is very interesting just about a type of person you are, like other people, yeah. Right? Because when I got that... You know, I'm a little like rigid and with some things, and I think that's maybe why it was hard for me to keep a journal. Like I'd be,
yeah.
Well, and I might have written about it in mine, but I was always kind of like, what if somebody does find this? Where, you know, I would feel like clenched, right?
Yeah.
And so when I saw that, I was like, this isn't the front. He's giving me, it's upside down. But then the type of person I am, I was like, but I'll try it this way. So I wrote, you know, like I was like, okay. You know what? We'll do it backwards.
My whole approach is, you know, it's not about editing. It's just, I don't know why it is. I just feel like that side hasn't been seen. Well, I don't know what it is. It's in my brain.
I think that's so cool because, I mean, you know, it just shows that people.
I mean, I don't do that with everything. Like with toothpaste, I don't cut the bottom of the thing
right.
And then use that. You know, but I just find it, yeah.
It just shows.
You'll see most of these are actually like that.
Yeah. But it's just interesting that people, yeah, you find out weird, quirky things that, you know.
Well, I don't think that's it's weird and quirky.
Yeah, no, I do. I do. But I was open to it. That's why I wrote. I was like, I'll write in this notebook backwards.
Cool.
We'll do it back to front. Okay.
Maybe it's a Japanese thing.
Maybe it is a Japanese thing.
Do you know
thing.
What I mean? I
what
never
is it?
Thought of that.
Well,
like front to, like front to back. Whoa, like it's some sort of anime. Maybe it's in my DNA, even though I was adopted. Who knows? Anyway, so what's
okay. I like that there's two different colors of pen.
Ooh, because this is maybe when I was getting into pens.
I'm very scared. I'm very scared.
No, don't tell me.
Oh wait,
that
no. Wait. Okay, no. I thought that. Okay, no. This.
No, no. Wait. What did you say?
I thought I saw my name.
Oh, you saw your name.
No, but I didn't because it's from the year 2000.
Okay, well, I wouldn't have known you in 2000.
I know. And it said, my heart skipped a beat. I was like, I don't know. Do you know, some people would salivate.
Can you imagine if I had written in there, I have a feeling that 20 years from now, I'm going to meet this Catherine woman and we're going to be talking about teeth.
I mean, I feel like there's some people who can see the future, but
really?
that's a whole.
My mom, yeah, she did.
Yeah?
She could see it.
See,
She's Italian. She could see loads.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, now I would have thought that was the Japanese bit, but you
I don't know.
Know.
There's so many bits. What was so?
Okay.
Is that all right now?
Yeah.
Read?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
no.
You can
I just,
read that. Okay. What is
I just thought it was about me, and you know, some people would love that.
Just because you had your that you seen your own name in a book, and it's almost like some David Blaine kind of magic thing.
I started shaking a little bit. I was
wow.
like, because I didn't want to, you know, I don't know if this indicates something about whatever, you know, but I didn't want to see something not nice about myself.
Wow.
That was my first thought.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Does that show you how I was raised?
No. I think that is with anybody.
Yeah,
that
but
really
some people would want to, You know what I mean? Like they'd be like, yeah, I want to know. I want to know. And like in some ways, you want to know what people think of you. You know what I mean? You want to, like, it's like I want to know the truth, but I was scared it was going to be bad. That was my first, you know?
Wow.
I've got a lot of healing to do, Rick.
I don't know if you do or not. I think you're probably a lot stronger than you think. Anyway, so what is
so,
this?
So this is what it actually says is, spoke to Katrina last night.
Uh-oh. What's it say?
She was good.
Okay.
No, you just tried to rip this out of my head.
I know. I did try to rip it out of her head. I did. I wasn't quite sure. Okay, what does it say?
I think I will be better this time. Uh-oh, Rick did something.
Turn the page.
Just thought my email was very clear and sensible, so I was disappointed.
Okay, that you can carry read.
And you've switched from a black pen to a green pen.
So I must be okay.
Andy just read the email and...
I'm glad, you know, I think I did this. I did this on purpose because you can't read it aloud because it just slows you down naturally. Let me see.
Yeah, there you go.
I just grabbed it out of her hand. You know, this is like from 2000,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is like 20 something years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, that means this book is older than lots of your pants that you have,
yeah.
right? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is again, this is from a time when I was working in advertising, and it was really, this time was a lot of, it was back in those days where there's loads of coke and drugs and like womanizing, believe it or not. I was never a womanizer. A womanizer because I couldn't, because I never actually sensed when somebody liked me, even older. Were you good at that? Did you have a good radar? When you met Mark, did he thought, oh, right, you guys are going to connect?
Well, that was unexpected, pretty unexpected.
Right.
Yeah. Yes and no. You know, it's weird. I kind of, because I think back, if people liked me, I was like, disgusting, you know? Like, it was like I liked guys who weren't necessarily the best fit for me. And then really nice, like, sensible... Like there was a guy that I remember.
What is that about? Because I can, along with a lot of other people, can relate to what you've just said there.
I mean, you know, the trope is, you know, my dad left very unexpectedly one night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so maybe there's
not totally know what you mean.
But so, you know, I think, from what I've like explored about myself, maybe it creates a sense of like unworthiness,
right?
You know, because you're like this like figure in your life that you like looked up to and cared about. Just, you know, whether or not people, because I was always told this isn't about you. Like, you know, like my mom was very clear. This is between me and him, and he loves you very much. But it's just that sort of sense of like, you know, I've only really recently started coming to terms with how it made me feel as a kid.
Right.
Because I had basically sort of like disassociated from how painful I think it was.
Yeah.
And I think you then start chasing the feeling of like, you know, being re-triggered, like, you know, of being
right.
kind of like, no, I want the thing, you know, and if I can make the thing that doesn't, you know, that doesn't really want to be there, then maybe I'm whole again, you know?
Right. I think that's a very brave thing. Again, though, I'm not qualified to say.
Yeah, well, I mean,
But I would like to say, I think we're at the point now where I would like to look at your diary.
We've hit the dad button, so we might as well.
Yeah, I think what we should do, because that makes sense. So
there you go.
Okay, now I'm going
knock
to...
Knock yourself out.
I actually looked at the front. That's the front where I should start, right?
That's the back.
Oh, no, it's
according
the back.
According to you.
It's
yeah.
All right, look, so I'm going to look at this now, and I trust that your handwriting is much better.
I don't know. I think depending on the day.
All right.
I'm sweating like a hog at Christmas.
I had asked you to write this journal when we started discussing what we were going to be doing here today. Hopefully it's met all your expectations. This is going to be. I know it's we've covered quite a few things. I'm looking at this now, and you're looking at me, so I don't know how comfortable you are.
Well, I know, just whatever.
Okay, all right.
I just have completely forgotten what I put in there. And I'm, I take life a little too seriously, and I'm trying to lighten up, and I don't think that's going to reflect lightening up at all.
I don't know. I mean, this, the whole purpose of writing a journal in here is to exercise all the things that you're thinking about.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily... and again, I don't bring anything, any sort of judgment to any of this, or sort of, and as long as it's not slanderous.
No.
Okay.
No.
And
no.
As long as my name is not in it, because I too. Would,
it's just your name written over and over and over again.
It's a bit like that bit from The Shining, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
That would be scary. In fact, I thought I was thinking that I'd look at this and there'd be like one word on each page.
Yeah.
That would have been,
yeah.
That would have been, okay, look, I'm going to read this. And this is, oh my God, number one.
Uh-oh.
I noticed on the, look at your face.
Well,
number one, you've written your dates like the American way.
Yeah.
November 11th, the month. And you know what? I haven't seen that for such a long time. It's kind of like.
Because you know what? Like the thing is
because it's November 7th, 23.
I adapt for, you know, when I'm here. But like when I sat down, I was like, this is who I am. You know what I mean? I write my dates the American way in my.
You know, God, that made me think
journal.
maybe I should change. I don't know. When did I change?
Maybe that'll fix it.
Holy cow. No, but I never thought about that because you know when you write something in your mother tongue or your mother, because I've written like labor with a U and all that kind of stuff, and I've done all that now. I've totally anglicized on the spelling, the language, the dates, and I'm thinking, have I lost a bit of myself doing that? I don't know. Anyway, this is what stand up is now, though.
Uh-oh.
This is it, and I can assure you, my best moments have not been on tape. I haven't taped or listened to a recording, let alone recorded me, of my own sets in years. This is more of a waste of time than sitting on Reddit or reading my Calvin and Hobbes books before I give them away. Right. So why haven't you recorded? Do you used to record yourself on sets?
I used to tape everything.
Right. And then what did you get out of that?
What did I get out of it?
Yeah. What did you?
Well, I was trying to, like, in 2019, I was like starting to put clips out and stuff like that.
Right.
Cuz that's like when it was beginning.
Right.
You know? And I recorded my sets because you're supposed to like listen to them and work on your jokes. Now, if I'm going to be honest, I have hours and hours and hours and I never ever listen to them.
Same.
And then I'm hard on myself about it. And, you know, cause I'm like, oh, you're not putting the work in, you know, the real work, the hard work, like getting on stage is like the fun part.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then doing the clips is part of the job, you know, really. And then I know I'm not doing that part.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm really hard on myself about things, and I know I could just do it, but it brings me absolutely no joy. And it is what a lot of it is now. So it's I'm really grappling with this
The job of being a stand-up comedian.
Yeah. Once it's become like a job, that is exactly what it is, you know? And it's a fun job, but like working in that dungeon was also a fun job, you know, to be honest. Like,
it sounds pretty fun.
So I was kind of enjoying stand-up more when it was something that I went out. I would go, I mean, it's crazy to think about the way my schedule used to be. Like working a day job and then doing like four or five shows after work.
I know what that's like.
Ending
yeah.
at 1:30 in the morning.
Well, that is something that a lot of us do.
But like you asked me to do something like that now. Like, do you know what I mean? Now I'm like, oh, I got a gig and I have to like, you know, mentally prepare for the day. You know, it's like interesting now that it's switched to like a job, how it's like my body and my mind. And also I think who I am, like I needed to be that busy at that time in my life because I didn't want to deal with any of my stuff.
Yeah.
And now I'm very interested in my stuff.
Right.
And I kind of feel like the job, that other thing that it takes to be a stand-up comic, that like look at me, like I got to be out here, I got to have something, you know, make sure the world knows who I am. I don't even know if that's really who I actually am.
I think that's very fascinating. And I think perhaps so. That also means, I think we discussed this a little bit, is that maybe stand-up has actually been the key to that. That sort of insight. I don't know. It's fascinating. I think it's like one of those things. When I started stand-up, I realized I was doing some things all the time. I was learning about it, and I kept on going into the audience and talking to them, and then Ivor Dembina, actually, he told me, why do you do that? Why do you do that? And then it was the fact that I'd been bullied, and I was being a bully.
Oh.
And it was just like whenever I was nervous or being under pressure, and then it's just, the awareness of that. And that was through stand-up.
Yeah,
that was an insight on that. I'm also going to read now. This is totally fascinating about you, because I love your work. I mean, I think that now, and the thing that the things that you're changing now, I mean, that it is a process. You know, it's a process, and sometimes you don't know what's happening, and you don't know how it's affecting, or if it's the right thing or the wrong thing. That's what being an artist is. You know, it really is. Exploration and being brave enough to do that. So
I feel tortured all the time, Rick.
And that's part of it too. All of this suitcase full of diaries here are just something, literally, some of them are stream of consciousness. Although the only thing that sometimes I look at them now in the studio light of day, and I think, oh my gosh, this person's nuts.
Yeah, I mean,
I do think that. I mean, it just looks a bit sort of serial killer-ish.
A bit.
But I think, you know, I think it's probably in the same way that we're unexpected and surprised at how our life goes and how it turns out. We look at things and, you know, like if you sort of lined up all the people that you've slept with over the years, that would be weird. You know, so it's kind of like, it's just a different way of looking at or reflecting upon, not just all the people that you slept with, but I mean, you know, all the food that you've eaten, or, you know, all the clothes that you've had or worn, or do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, it's just an unexpected way of assessing or over the years, what's happened, time. Mm. This is a time capsule. And I think that's probably... and probably the thoughts that I haven't really thought about for a long period of time. And that's what the value is, I think, in this. There's no editor. There's no purpose.
Yeah.
Okay. This is November 7th, 23. I'm going to read it from the beginning. And it just says, I just spent 3 hours looking through my videos to send to a club to make clips of me. I don't know why I'm acting this out. It's what I'm supposed to do, the bare minimum at that, since I don't even have to make the clips myself. But it feels like a huge cringe, mostly because I'm sitting here watching videos of myself trying to find a highlight worthy moment. It just feels completely up my own ass. You know, that, I mean, what were you thinking there? I can feel what you were thinking there, but why? That is like what most people think when they see themselves, though.
I would politely say that I'd say maybe some people, but I think other people, comedians, I mean, part of it is they love watching themselves. They love what they do. They love, you know, like...
Narcissism.
Yeah. I mean, there's two sides of each part, and I'm heavily leaning to the side of, like... Well, I mean, you even said it yourself. Like, you don't like hearing the sound of your own voice. I don't like hearing the sound of my own voice. Well, we were talking about freedom at some point in this. You know, I don't like watching myself. I don't like listening to myself. It's hard for me to even be like, I did a good job.
Yeah.
But if I had a bad time, I could beat myself up about it.
Right.
Now, the kind of, when that all levels out, it's like, it doesn't matter either way, you know?
Don't you think that is part of the job that we do? I mean, we just did a gig recently together that was, I mean, it was the audience didn't necessarily coalesce, and it wasn't exactly a purpose-built comedy venue and things. Isn't that sort of just that self-doubt part of like what we do?
I think the thing, yes, and I think people are chasing different things with this. And I can only speak for myself in saying that, like, for me, I think I started stand-up because it prodded a feeling of, you know, unworthiness in me. And then I could go out every night and prove it or not. And now that I feel better as a person, the whole thing has shifted for me. I'm kind of like, what? And now I'm trying to kind of change it to, and this also feels a little up my own ass, but this is how I have to make it kind of be like, all right, well, I'm going to bring joy to the world or bring some material that can be relatable to people. So it's less about me being like, listen to me, I need this and I need the approval and I need the love. And if I'm the best, then then finally I can be at peace, which I think some comics are chasing and they won't get it that way, you know, but make it more about like a global thing. But I still have to have enough like love and acceptance of myself to be like, well, yeah. I can do that, you know, and I'm not quite there because I'm kind of like,
I think you know. you're closer than you think, because I mean, what you just expressed there was very, I don't want to say brave, but it was, you know, it's something not everybody can say.
I'm stressed out saying it.
I know. Well, that's because it's not easy to be an artist. I think, which is at the heart of when you put yourself out there, like. After talking to a friend, I've realized more that I need to be very active in being kind to myself. And people go through a lot, and it's just true. Just the fact that you've put that in here in your diary, you know, you don't have to tell everybody this. You know, you don't have to. It's just something that you've noted down, and then it's just sort of just a little reminder in this upside down book. that I gave you, and that I'm just so, actually, I'm pleased. And then if you do actually finish all of the pages in here, because I'm looking at her diary now, and it's, there's over three quarters of it that's left. And the last entry that you've made here, in fact, I'm going to just read the last sentence. I don't know if this is going to be depressing or not.
Yep, go for it. No, that's fine. That's fine.
She's holding
fine.
Her breath, ladies and gentlemen. Guys, all right. Should I?
Yeah, no. Go, no. I
don't
know.
Do you know what you said in this?
I don't know what. Go.
You
go
don't know
for
what
it.
You
no,
said.
Go,
but
no, I like. I have the vaguest of recollections.
Is this going to be really bad to end?
No. We can have a chat. All
right. I'm sorry. I hope you had fun anyway. I'm glad you were there with friends. You have more friends than I do, if that's worth anything.
Yeah.
What is this about?
I can tell you what this is about. So I was emceeing at a club the other day.
Right.
And
a club you won't mention.
Well, no, I mean, anyway, I can mention it. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I was at Top Secret. Yeah. And the second row, like, we came back from the break and they were gone. It was gone. So I, you know, I'm emceeing. So I addressed it. But then somebody, like, yelled from the back. I think this is how it happened. That they were back there. They were standing
in
the back.
They moved from the road.
Well, they were standing by the bar instead.
Right.
And I was like, why aren't you sitting down? And the guy, so mind you, you know, it's in the upstairs room. The lights, you've been there, so you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's blinding. You can't
yeah.
see.
Yeah.
So he said something I didn't understand. Now, that's not uncommon for me because
sure.
I'm in England and people sometimes have thick accents.
Sure.
And, you know, and so if they say something, I don't get it. And I go, what? And they say it again sometimes. And, you know, because this usually gets a laugh. I'll, you know, mimic it back. Like,
yeah.
da, 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 you know.
Yeah.
And I can't see the guy. But then when I did that, the audience kind of made a sound. And I was like, okay, I know something's up, but I don't know. And so I'm just going to keep going with what I think, which is just some guy. You know, and they said they had a restaurant to go to and whatever, you know, and that's why they're there. And
this whole conversation is taking place while you're on stage.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you
my
know?
Gosh.
And but I'm making jokes, you know.
Right.
And then I kind of move on. And then the guy yells something again. And I'm like, oh, you back there. You know, you're chatting when I can't see you, you know. And it was, you know, it was funny. We worked it all out. But then when I got off, I went to the tech and I was like, what? You know, and he was like, well, I think that guy has a speech impediment.
Oh.
And I was like, fuck. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
Because I think what's happened to me is like that, you know, it's sort of funny. Right. And then they left and they donated whatever. But
yeah.
like. I'm really sensitive these days. And
yeah.
maybe I had to realize I've always been sensitive, but I was so walled up. But like some days it's really hard for me to get up and go out and do comedy because it's not doing that thing for me anymore. Like
yeah.
I don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm like, okay, I have to try to get in this mindset that, hopefully I'm bringing joy to others. And then the idea that I made, and I didn't mean to, know what I mean? I couldn't see him,
exactly.
Whatever, but that I made fun of this guy for this thing that he, I went home and cried.
Yeah.
And I feel even bad talking because it's like, that's not, I hate the idea of hurting other people.
Yeah.
Like, and I've probably done things in my life, I know I have, that have hurt other people. And I'm trying to give myself forgiveness, ask for forgiveness from the world, whatever. But like, you know what I mean? When it's happening in real time again, even though I knew it was an accident, I just couldn't. And I, even around there, I'm like, I have to forgive myself for this. But, I just imagine this guy, of course I create this scenario. Like, he's in bed thinking like, God, I got made fun of today for this thing. But he was with a group of people, and I'm like, I haven't been out with a group of people in ages, so at least he has more friends than I do.
I think it's likely that he's totally forgotten about that.
Well, yeah.
I think on that side, it's quite possible that, you are sensitive, and we are all sensitive in these sort of situations. It's kind of, these things happen. I've done a similar thing.
Oh, yeah.
We've all been doing. I've done things where there was a woman who was knitting, and I was in Edinburgh, and it's like, what are you doing? You're just knitting, and she had like a brain injury.
Yeah.
And she was just doing it part of her thing, but I didn't know it. And
I just
felt horrible, and it's just like one of these things that, if anything, I'm not saying you can find any solace in this. It's something how we. I forget who said it, but it's not so much the things that happen, it's how you handle it. And, these are actually accentuated because we're on stage and the lights are on us.
Yeah.
And, I on stage, I've apologized on stage. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I'm very sorry. And you don't often, quite often, you don't need to say anything witty or anything. You just say the facts.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know what it's like in a very lively room. Like that, it's in central London, and there's all different ages, and there's all different classes and politics and things like that, and quite often people are drunk, and it's a little tinderbox. So there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that position is kind of par for the course for and the fact that you put yourself out there in the first place to deal with that is, that's the strength. So
yeah.
I will also say this is part of your diary. I'm going to read one more bit. We all live in different places to lead different lives and grow apart in that heartbreaking way that only another positive way to sort of wrap this up way that only happens when you go from child to adult. So this is more sort of soul searching on your part.
Well, this is, I think, this is about my friends I grew up with.
Right.
And I think this is not just about them.
And where did you actually grow up again?
I was in Reno for about 10 years of my life, but this was in California. These are the people that I, you go through your kind of formative years with.
Right. Yeah,
and I think, I've always felt very alone, and I think I was kind of talking about that. But like that, when you're like a teenager and you have a group of friends?
Yeah.
And you're like, we're going to be like best friends forever.
Yeah, yeah.
And as when that kind of thing disintegrates, it doesn't mean like the friendship's not there, but it's different because everybody grows up.
Yeah.
And there's very few feelings I can like attach to the way that felt, to grow apart from people you could imagine never growing apart from.
It's loss.
It's wild, because it's not, because nobody's dead, but it's just... We're all very different now, but sometimes when we get together, it's still like, but it's just not that same. You thought like, this is my family. Like I'll rely on this. I'll lean on this forever. And it's just, that's why I wrote it like that,
People change.
Yeah.
And finally right here, I've got June when I felt like I was quitting, I felt free. What is it like to feel free?
God, what's awful about it is like now I'm clinging to striving to feeling free. It feels like it doesn't matter how whatever happens, how anything goes, good or bad. It's like a complete detachment, So you're kind of like I can accept anything as it is. It doesn't mean like, it feels good, right? But it's sort of like you allow for it. You're just like, that's fine. That's fine. And I have had the tiniest taste of that feeling. And, you know, it's allowed me to recognize that at least where I'm at right now, I'm in a pretty frantic space of both trying to cling and let go at the same time.
Sure.
But that, I think that's, you know, what, nirvana? I don't know, you know?
Well, it sounds to me that you're heading towards some sort of peace and hopefully creatively.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Well, and then creatively, you know, I mean, I don't know how much, how funny that will be or how creatively satisfying that will be, but it's always worth going through the journey to discover.
It's funny that you say that because if I'm at peace, then I don't think I'll care. But that is something that I've worried about where I'm like, oh, being at peace, that's probably not very funny. But then
peace sucks.
Yeah, but I'm at peace with it. So I don't care. I don't need any of it anymore.
Okay. Well, Catherine, look, I hope that there are loads more pages in this journal. I hope you carry on writing in here and that you find that sense of freedom, not necessarily from writing in this book, but from how you go about the next steps of your journey. And I think it's been lovely to have you on Prototype Diaries. That was my guest today was Catherine Henson. The recording engineer was Joe Osborne. The executive producer was Ricky Barber. And the podcast was produced by Brian Luff for Bleach Productions. Thank you very much. And I'll talk to you next time.